T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, hour number 2 of the show. Matt Herra back with you here on ESPN Upstate, filling in for Sturge. 844-477-3776 is the number. Diesel fuel is behind the glass, through the glass, in another state. I am located here in Houston, Texas. Diesel show told me to start the show here, why his nickname is Diesel. Yeah, I was a little bit intrigued by this, because when you Facebook messaged me as we were planning the show at the beginning, I saw Greg, and I'm like, who's Greg? I didn't understand who Greg was. And then,
yeah, I don't know who that guy is either. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what does it say on your what does it say on your driver's license? Have you gotten your name legally changed yet, or is it still Greg?
I don't know who's this Greg person you're talking about. I don't know.
So let me ask you.
I'm Diesel on ESPN Upstate. What are you talking about?
All right, so Diesel, let me ask you this. So you did tell me at the start of the show that the reason why your nickname is Diesel is because in college you took a dare and you drank diesel fuel, which I still don't understand really the difference between diesel and gasoline, but apparently they're both what you put in your car.
Yeah, if you put diesel into a gasoline engine, you break the engine. If you put gasoline into a diesel engine, you break the engine. You don't do either. You don't mix them.
Okay. So, are you good with cars? Do you know about cars?
The tiniest bit.
I know absolutely nothing about cars except that the catalytic converter is the most expensive, or one of the most expensive pieces to replace, because my catalytic converter died or just completely burnt out one time. What happens when your catalytic converter goes, and this was not a car that had diesel fuel, this was regular fuel, but I was in college, I was on my internship, and I was like driving back from my internship to my apartment. And I was going in the right lane because my catalytic converter was messed up. And I was just, the gas pedal was all the way down. I was just gunning it. And the motor was just, I was going about 15 miles an hour. So I it was absolutely awful. I'm like, I got to continue to just put pedal to the metal here, because otherwise my car is not going to continue to go. Like, I just had to go. Like, I thought the whole thing was going to blow up. That's the only thing I know about cars, Diesel. I figured someone named Diesel would be like an expert on cars. I figured you would know. But here's my question. Is there anything now? And when you're in college, you're dumb, right? You're an idiot. I've done some real stupid things in college. But is there anything that anybody could, you know, propose to you to do where you would do that again? Like a reward for you? Is there a reward for you? Is there something that I could do for you? Say, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you the front row tickets to, I don't know, a Clemson football game.
I dare if you were to eat a 12-pack of Krispy Kreme donuts. I'll just do that just for fun.
12. Okay, so then that's clearly not it. All right, well, what if I said you said 12-pack of Krispy Kreme donuts?
Yeah.
Okay, what if I said you had to eat all those in 2 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd do that.
You would do that?
Heck yeah.
Yeah?
You probably don't have Krispy Kreme donuts in Texas.
Honestly, I haven't had a donut in a very long time. I really don't know. But what's the most amount of donuts you've eaten in one sitting?
Ooh, probably 5, 6.
Oh God! So this is dumb. This is fun for you. I need to pick something where it would actually be a punishment for you. Eating that amount of donuts. I don't know. Like I'm trying to think back, because again, at the beginning of the show, I was comparing things, and I don't think there's anything. I really don't think there's anything you could give me for me to chug hot sauce again. I really don't. It was that bad. I was out of commission. My mouth was burning for 3 days straight. It was absolutely awful. But Diesel, that's quite the nick. I really like. Isn't that what Shaq has tattooed on his shoulder? Was it Shaq? The
yeah,
big Diesel?
Yeah.
I should know that.
I think you're right.
The sports radio host. All right. I want to get to this here to start the second hour of the show. Again, my Twitter poll question is up. You can call the show 844-477-3776. Would South Carolina football fans sacrifice every game the rest of the season if it guaranteed Will Muschamp would be fired? We took a lot of calls in the first hour if you're just joining the show. Right now, the Twitter has the poll question is 51% yes, 49% no. Yes, I want him gone. I will sacrifice the wins. No, I want my team to win. That's at about 49%. All right, I want to shift gears here and talk a little bit about Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers football situation. Because Carolina has a big game coming up this week, as all games in the NFL are very big right now, as we are seeing who's good, seeing who's bad, right? Carolina on the road to face the Houston Texans, which is where I'm located right now. Now, Carolina has an interesting quarterback situation, obviously, with Kyle Allen coming in and just lighting up the world. 19 of 26, 261 yards, 4 touchdowns against the Arizona Cardinals. Christian McCaffrey was great in that game. 24 carries, 153 yards. I think what's most encouraging if you are a Carolina Panthers fan, though, is the reemergence of Greg Olsen. Okay, 6 receptions for 75 yards and 2 touchdowns. I do believe that one of the major deciders when it comes to judgment on Jacoby Brissett in Indianapolis, everyone's like, oh, I cannot take T.Y. Hilton now in my fantasy draft because Andrew Luck is gone and Jacoby Brissett is in. T.Y. Hilton's going to suffer. That really hasn't happened. I have T.Y. Hilton on my fantasy team, and T.Y. Hilton has not really dipped down. A major indicator to me of how good you are as a quarterback is how good your star guys are doing around you. Greg Olsen, to me, is the best receiver, the best target that the Carolina Panthers had. And to see him be successful as Kyle Allen, is extremely, extremely encouraging. So there is this gigantic question mark out there right now when Cam Newton does come back. Now, right now, Cam Newton, it is said by Ron Rivera. Let's actually hear from Ron Rivera. Right now, there is no timetable, according to him, for Cam's return. Let's play that.
Well, no, I don't. And to be honest, it was really to answer the question that I was probably going to get. It was to make sure everybody understands there is no timetable. You know, and just really just kind of end it.
Should we jump to the conclusion after just one game that Kyle Allen is going to be the savior of the franchise? Okay, I say no. Now, I told you before to start the show that I'm a New York Giants fan, and I'm going to be a realistic New York Giants fan and tell you that Daniel Jones, I'm not convinced on Daniel Jones either. Okay, Daniel Jones and Kyle Allen right now, to me, are Jeremy Lin. If you remember the New York Knicks, what was it, like 3-4 years ago? Linsanity, right? Oh, he had 8 games in the NBA, 9 games in the NBA where everyone's jumping up and down, and Jeremy Lin is going to be the next great. He's going to be the next Latrell Sprewell. God, he's the only New York Knick that could come to my head. Latrell Sprewell, I guess Patrick Ewing. He's the next Patrick Ewing, right? He's going to be the next face of the New York Knicks. Linsanity lasted for 5 seconds. I'm not saying that Daniel Jones and Kyle Allen are going to last for 5 seconds, but I do think you have to look at the defenses that they played last week. Daniel Jones put up 4. Now, he was the NFC Player of the Week. Okay, Daniel Jones put up 4 touchdowns against a terrible Bucs defense. Kyle Allen put up those numbers, 4 touchdowns, 261 yards against an absolutely terrible Arizona Cardinals defense. I do think, though, when we are in a situation with, if you look at the Giants specifically, let's look at both of these teams, the New York Giants and the Carolina Panthers. You have fan bases and you have management who are just grasping for something. You are desperate for something. When you are in a relationship with somebody and it's just not working out, guess what you're doing? You are like kind of looking around. I've been in this situation. I've been in a situation where my relationship, we're just not texting, we're not communicating, and now all of a sudden I'm looking around when I go out to a bar. I'm talking, I'm not doing anything because I'm still in a relationship, but I'm looking around and trying to figure out what my options are going to be. And if I find a viable option, then I might just pull the cord because that's what we like to do. Okay, and I honestly, if we want to make a comparison to the South Carolina coaching situation, I think it's the same thing. We got to be a little bit careful when it comes to just pulling the cord on things. Okay, but Cam Newton is definitely hurt, and Cam Newton has declined in his career. There's no question about that. Same thing with Eli Manning. And we're going to go to break here in a second. But when you look at Kyle Allen and you look at Daniel Jones right now, let's all take a deep breath and realize that it has been just one game. And it has been one game against two terrible defenses for both of those guys. I understand Giants fans want to move off Eli Manning and just believe in something. You want to believe in something. Carolina Panthers fans, Cam Newton hurt all the time, can't throw the short pass. We want to believe in something. That's fine. I'm for believing in something. But do not make this a Jeremy Lin situation. Right now, that's what it is. These guys are Jeremy Lin. They could develop into something, but I'm not willing to jump the gun just yet. All right, when we come back, Diesel has a theory on the NFL and college football. We'll get to that. This is ESPN Upstate, straight up with Sturge, Matt Harrod filling in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Matt Harrod back in here for Mark Sturgis. As this is Straight Up with Sturge, Twitter poll question for you. Would South Carolina Gamecocks football fans sacrifice every game the rest of the season if it guaranteed that Will Muschamp would be fired? Ah, Diesel, the tables have turned. Right now, the poll is 46%. Yes, I want him gone no matter what. No, I want, that's 46%. Yes, I want him gone no matter what. No, I want my team to win. 54% now say they want their team to win no matter what. So you can call the show anytime you'd like. That is our revolving door question throughout the show. 844-477-3776. Would South Carolina football fans sacrifice every game the rest of the season if it guaranteed that Will Muschamp would be fired? All right, now, Diesel, I teased this coming in. And I want to get your thoughts on this because you came to me before the show and you said that you have a theory regarding college football fans versus NFL fans and why there aren't many college football fans from up north. I am from the Northeast and I did not grow up watching college football religiously like I did the NFL. The NFL was my preference, and really I do believe that it simply is just geographical. My dad went to the University of Maryland. University of Maryland, I was a big University of Maryland basketball fan. Those were the Juan Dixon years, Steve Blake, Byron Mouton, that team won a championship. But I will tell you, being from the Northeast, that those fans are generally, and I'm just going to be dead honest, they are generally bandwagon fans. And I was one of them. When the University of Maryland basketball team went on their run and did as well as they did, I was not a diehard Maryland basketball fan. I caught on when that Maryland basketball team was pretty good. My perception of the South, having lived in the South for as long as I have, is we are going to ride and we are going to die with our team. And I respect the heck out of that when it comes to Southern, when it comes to the South and college football and college basketball. So you tell me your theory, because we were talking about this a little bit before the break.
Well, people from up north are just angry, miserable people. That's the crux of it. No, well, the point is,
do you know why that is, though? Because,
because
I actually have it
sucks.
The weather's terrible. It's true. Like, why are Buffalo Bills fans so passionate? Because it snows.
That's all you got.
That's all they have, and it snows like for 10 months out of the year. So I am 100% behind you, but it's important to know the reason why everybody's miserable. The weather's terrible. You can't go anywhere when it snows.
Now, the reality is, in up north, you've got city versus city rivalry. People from Boston hate New York. People from New York hate Boston. People from Philly hate Pittsburgh, and on and on and on. And you have every major sport in almost every one of those cities. So it's not just a New York Giants versus Patriots rivalry.
By the way,
it's
New York
and Boston.
That is not a rivalry, by the way. I will argue with anybody who says, because people do. No, I'm glad you brought this up, because people have come to me and they said, man, you must hate the Patriots. And I'm like, just because I'm a Yankees fan and I hate the Red Sox does not mean because I'm a Giants fan I hate the Patriots. I have no problem with the Patriots. You know why? Giants beat them twice in the Super Bowl. I have no problem with that.
But the point is, you can continue your hatred of that city in the form of sports all year long. You can have it in baseball and basketball and football and hockey. You don't have that in the South. Most major cities only have one or two of those major sports teams, or some major cities don't have any of them. And so in the South, your state and regional representative is usually your nearest university. And so that's where it came from.
Yeah,
that's my theory. And people in the South are just nicer, you know?
It's
people,
true.
People in Charlotte don't hate people in Atlanta. There's no reason other than you guys suck at driving and vice versa, you know? So there's not the city by city citizen individual hatred. Like you have, like people in New York legitimately hate Bostonians. They just hate them.
Yeah.
You don't know why. You don't have a real reason to hate them.
No, yeah, we have a real reason.
They're from Boston.
I'll tell you the real reason. Okay, it's I don't think there was really legitimate hate between New York fans and Boston fans until Boston came back from 3-0 down. I really don't believe there was, because it was not the Yankees fans had for years over Red Sox fans. Well, we have won all these World Series. You guys haven't won since 1800, you know, or whenever the last time they won it was. And that's where it's interesting to me. You know, I hear all the time, and I know that I'm new, and like I'm new on these airwaves, but I generally had this question, and I wasn't sure if I was going to bring this up, but I'll bring it up. Why not? Like, how the rivalry between South Carolina and Clemson? You tell me, Diesel. I mean, like, Clemson's here, South Carolina's there. Right now, at this point, is it fair to say that it's a rivalry? Is it really fair?
It's because a rivalry in the hearts of the fans. It's not a rivalry on the field.
Sure.
But that's what makes rivalry games so great, is sometimes the rivalry in your heart can trump the skill of the players on the field. How many times have we seen a down North Carolina beat Duke, or vice versa?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we seen the down team beat the better team only because, you know, they say throw the records out when you get to a rivalry game, because
right,
that's all that matters, and guys elevate their play in rivalry games.
So what do you think right now would be the spread of a South Carolina Clemson game at the end of the year? If I were to tell you right now, because I'm going to give you my guess, okay? If that game were to be played this week, South Carolina and Clemson,
it's Clemson
I would say Clemson. Yeah, I was about to say 31.
Yeah,
that to me isn't a rivalry. I understand the history. I do. I understand the history. I get the clash. But to me, a legitimate rivalry, and again, I'm speaking, you know, from the Northeast here, a legitimate rivalry, there has to be some kind of even ground. There has to be a chance. Is there a chance that South Carolina could cover the spread when it comes to gambling? Yes. But is there a chance for them to win the game? No. I don't believe that. But I want to get back to your theory here, because I do think you make a very good point. It is year-round. There are more professional sports year-round in the Northeast. But generally, people, and I love the fact that the South is nicer, because it is so true. I noticed that from the very beginning. You know what happened when I first, and this isn't the South, but I do think that small town Nebraska, where I first started my radio career, is very similar to South Carolina or Houston or wherever. When I first drove up to the town that I was first going to start my career in, I went to a Subway. And I pulled into the Subway, and they saw that I actually grew up outside of Washington, D.C. My family's from Jersey. But I had Maryland plates. And so I walk into the Subway, and she starts talking to me about, she's asking me about my entire life. I was the only one in the store. Asked me about my entire life. Oh, you're from Maryland. What are you doing out here? And I'm like, can I just get my darn sandwich? I didn't say that because, you know, I didn't want to be mean. And I'm not a mean person. But I do. It was an adjustment for me as a Northerner to go to that kind of culture and realize, oh, this person will go over and pull over on the side of the road to help you with if you have a flat tire. You know, that would never happen on the New Jersey Turnpike. You know, they would just say, screw off and just go, and just we'd watch the pollution rise into the air. You know, that to me is a huge difference and a great thing about those cultures. All right. Speaking of the North, I want to get to this, because I know that you despise this part about the NFL. More Antonio. Hey, are you ready for another Antonio Brown topic, Diesel?
Yay!
Are you ready for it?
Okay. Are you sure there's no LeVar Ball to talk about today or anything like that?
I could, you know what? I can Google it. I can see if LeVar Ball is. we can find. So why don't you do that? Why don't you?
He's
got to
be doing something.
We'll pair LeVar Ball with Antonio Brown if you can find something with.
They're
LeVar
basically
Ball.
The same guy.
So Antonio Brown, this is the ongoing saga. Drew Rosenhaus's agent went on a podcast with Warren Sapp, the great defensive tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. By the way, in 13 minutes here, we're going to have RJ Anderson of CBS Sports joins the show. He covers Major League Baseball. We're going to talk Major League Baseball as the postseason is rapidly approaching. And then coming up in the third hour, we will dive deeper into college football. But for now, I want to get into Antonio Brown again, because, again, he's making news. Antonio Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, goes on the Warren Sapp podcast, 90 Time Problems, and says, "I believe that Antonio wants to continue his career in the NFL. And I've mentioned that. I have had discussions with him. I have discussions with a few teams that are very interested in him and want to know about his future in the NFL." Because obviously, as we know right now, Antonio Brown wants to become a scholar again. He was going back to the Central Michigan. He has re-enrolled. And who knows how long that is going to last. But he wants to become a scholar. Okay, he's in college right now. Hopefully, when all of this stuff is resolved, said Rosenhaus on the podcast, Antonio will be able to continue his Hall of Fame career. That's really where our focus is right now, and maybe where his focus is as the agent. But as far as we know right now, Antonio's focus is on his class at Central Michigan. All right. So Antonio Brown tweeted earlier today, "I'm still the best. Why stop now?" Was this not the most predictable thing since Floyd Mayweather retired? The fact that Antonio Brown would be back in our minds, and when it comes to if he's going to play in the NFL again, right, when Mayweather retired, we all said to ourselves, OK, this is stupid. Right. Mayweather's going to be coming back. He's going to want to go for his 49th win and his 50th victory. Antonio Brown wanting to come back to the NFL was not only predictable, but it was a foregone conclusion, in my opinion. Now, here is what I will say about Drew Rosenhaus's statement in the podcast. OK, and I want to highlight this one quote. "I have had discussions with a few teams that are very interested in him and want to know about his future. I do not think this is true." I do not think that Drew Rosenhaus has had multiple discussions with multiple teams about Antonio Brown after everything that has gone down with this guy. It is a circus. He is a clown show, in my opinion. Okay, he is so attention-seeking, and I really I struggle to really, really attack him just because I do think there, you know, he has taken so many hits in his career, and something is going on. This guy mentally is just not right, and his actions lead me to believe he's just not a healthy human being mentally. Okay, and so this ego that he has is just exemplified to the nth degree, because I believe of hits he's taken in the league. But I obviously it's just a theory of mine. But I don't think that this is true. I do not think that Drew Rosenhaus has had conversations with multiple teams, because the one team that he would have a conversation with, the New England Patriots, just cut him after 10 days. What was it, 10? He didn't even last 14. He didn't even last 2 weeks with the Patriots. What I believe is happening right now with the Antonio Brown situation is I think maybe Drew Rosenhaus has one team on his radar. He has had conversations with one team who came to him and said, "Oh, Antonio Brown, yeah, we could use him." And do not get me wrong, I understand why a team like the Patriots would want to go after Antonio Brown. It is a performance-based business, and Antonio is one of the best performers when it comes to wide receivers. All professional sports have cases where they have thrown away morals and ethics to get performance. What I think is happening here is one team, not multiple teams. I do believe one team is talking to Drew Rosenhaus, and he is trying to get that team moving a little bit faster to get Antonio Brown by going out publicly and saying, "We have multiple teams talking about Antonio Brown." I really don't believe, Diesel, tell me if I'm wrong, I cannot fathom to think that there's 3, 4, 5 teams in this league who would be willing to accept this Antonio Brown saga. I think that this is a negotiating tactic that his agent is using to get the ball rolling on maybe one team that may be interested in Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he's trying to will it into existence. He's trying to fool the entire NFL into thinking that somebody's interested. So out of FOMO, we better start the conversation ourselves.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good tactic if you are an agent. But again, where were you regarding the Patriots' decision to bring him in? Because I understood why New England would want to get him, specifically because you got to look at your competition, okay? And the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, that is not a fluke, okay? Last year, you know, we saw what Patrick Mahomes could do in year one, and I think there was maybe a thought by the pessimist Kansas City Chiefs fan, or maybe a Raider fan or a Bronco fan, that, oh, he's a one-year wonder. This Patrick Mahomes thing ain't going to work. Well, that's definitely not true. Patrick Mahomes is the real deal. That is the biggest competition to the New England Patriots in the AFC. They put up points. I think the New England Patriots said to themselves, okay, I'm going to have to go out and get a stud, because they obviously don't have Rob Gronkowski. I did understand and sympathize with what the Patriots did. And again, by the way, every sport has had situations like this. I think the best example is Major League Baseball. Okay, Major League Baseball, let's all keep in mind, and by the way, we're talking Major League Baseball coming up next with RJ Anderson of CBS Sports Major League Baseball. Okay, we can all say the Antonio Brown situation. Why would a team want Antonio Brown? Look at what he's doing. Such a distraction. Terrible for the league. Okay, well, didn't we say this kind of about steroids in Major League Baseball now? Okay, what was, in my opinion, the best thing for Major League Baseball over the past 15 years was the Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire home run duel, back and forth we go. I remember being in school at that point, Diesel, and coming home and wondering what the heck is going to happen with Sosa. Did he hit a home run? Is Mark McGwire going to hit a home run? Where are they at right now? Back and forth. Those guys were both juicing. Okay, and so we could sit here and we could pretend to turn a blind eye to it and say that this stuff isn't happening, this is just great baseball, but at the end of the day, it was tainted, right? And so that's what Antonio Brown is to a team. He's tainted, but he's talented. We're watching. He is a circus right now. Whatever happens with Antonio Brown, we're going to have our eyes on it. And the difference between the Mark McGwire and Sosa situation and this is Antonio Brown is not actually helping his team. That he's hurting the team and he's a distraction in a negative way. But my point is that we do look in sports for polarizing things. And Antonio Brown, without a doubt, is polarizing, and he is darn good, and he can get to a level that Sosa was for the Cubs and Mark McGwire was for the Cardinals. He can be a reason why you watch and be a reason for his team's success if, in fact, he does get his head on straight. Now, in my opinion, the Patriots were the only team that it could work for, and it did not work. But I do not believe Drew Rosenhaus when he comes out and says he's got multiple suitors for Antonio Brown. There has been too much damage done by Antonio Brown himself. This was not created by anybody other than Antonio Brown. This entire thing, this is in Antonio Brown being such an egomaniac that he has literally walked himself out of the league. But I do believe that he is not going to be a scholar. He's not going to be a professor in these courses. I don't know what he's doing at Central Michigan right now. But I do believe that maybe there's one team in the NFL who's interested, but not multiple.
Do you think this has a little bit of the Tommy Lee going back to college so that he could be on the Nebraska marching band kind of feel to it? Like, we all know it's crap. We all know it's not real, but it's kind of entertaining to think about Antonio Brown teaching courses. Wow.
Would you take his class? I would, right? I mean, he can't even read or write. He can't. Well, he might be able to read. He can't write. We know that because of his Twitter account and his Instagram account. Can you imagine if he took would you want Antonio Brown to be like your English teacher in 11th grade? That would be funny.
Imagine, I don't know. After reading the text messages he sent to the lady who was supposedly trying to blackball him or blackmail him, no, I don't think I'd want him as an English professor.
Imagine him conducting a parent-teacher conference with that mustache and everything. Oh, my God. Antonio Brown. I can't get enough. I can't get enough. All right. Coming up next, RJ Anderson will join the show. We're going to talk more college football coming up in the third hour of the show. But RJ Anderson covers Major League Baseball for CBS Sports. We're going to get a playoff preview coming up next. This is ESPN Upstate. I am Matt Harrod filling in for Mark Sturgis.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's talk baseball with RJ Anderson. He's a staff writer for CBS Sports Major League Baseball. You can follow all of his work on Twitter as I do at r_j_Anderson. RJ, it is great to have you back on the show. It has been a while since I have talked to you. Good to see you back on the airwaves here with me. All right, let's talk Atlanta Braves here, baseball to start. 97-62, been quite the year for them. 50 home wins, 7.5 in front of the Nationals. Everybody said coming into this year, Phillies, Phillies, Phillies. They get Bryce Harper. The Phillies tank at 79-79. What is the biggest surprise to you about the NL East in general, in your opinion?
Honestly, it's the route the Washington Nationals took to this postseason berth, because, you know, entering the season, I had the Nationals as my favorite to win the division, and they got off to a really horrible start, and frankly, I counted them out because they, you know, had to play like 600 ball the rest of the way to make the postseason. And then what did they do? They played 600 ball the rest of the way to make the postseason. So technically, I was right that they were going to make the playoffs, but I was wrong twice, because at first I didn't think they'd be that bad, and then I didn't think they'd be that good.
Let's just talk in generalities now, because the last time I talked to you was literally before the baseball season even started, and I remember going in circles about, like, literally whenever I had you on, where's Manny Machado going to go? Where's Bryce Harper going to go? And the baseball offseason just went on and on and on, and it was brutal, brutal, brutal. Have we learned anything based off of the Phillies being 79-79, the Padres being 70-88, Machado goes to the Padres, Bryce Harper goes to the Phillies? Is this a testament to teams actually being correct when it comes to going after star players, throwing a whole bunch of money at them? I know your stance the last time we talked on this was okay, the teams are wrong and these players aren't worth it. But and I know it's just one season, but with the Phillies going 79-79, the Padres going 70-88, is there now something to what the teams were doing, holding tight and not throwing big money at those guys?
Oh, absolutely not, because what it really reveals is that these teams would have been worse without these players. I mean, if you look at the advanced metrics, Machado was the second best player on the Padres behind Fernando Tatis Jr., which, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. looks like one of the best players in baseball already, so no shame there. And Harper was one of the three most productive Phillies players. So for me, it just says, you know what, it takes more than one good player or one highly productive player to make a competitor. And that, you know, if the Phillies hadn't done what they had done, it'd be even worse. And if the Padres hadn't went out there and signed Machado, they'd be even worse. So I think that the lesson here is that baseball is not basketball, where once you get one really good player, you have basically a playoff contender on your hands. You have to complement that player. You have to have a deeper roster than just, you know, three or four players. You have to basically have a 35-man roster to get through the course of a 162-game season. So I think that's the big takeaway here, is that these players are absolutely worth the contracts they received. But at the same time, one player can only have so much impact over the course of 162 games.
RJ Anderson is our guest. He covers Major League Baseball for CBS Sports. You could follow his work on Twitter at r_j_Anderson. All right, RJ, let me push back on you here for a second. All right, you just said that these teams have to fill out their roster. Is it a fair argument for me to make when I say, okay, San Diego says, all right, they're a small market club, I'm going to spend all this money on Manny Machado, now how am I going to delegate money the rest of the way? The Philadelphia Phillies, all this money on Bryce Harper. Is it fair of me to say that although these players are worth it, they are worth it, they are, their careers have and their numbers have made it so that they deserve that money? Again, I will ask, like, it's, to me, it's the same kind of deal with Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, he might be worth it, but we do have to fill out the rest of the Pittsburgh Steelers roster. This is why I'm not going to throw all this money at Le'Veon Bell. Is it fair of me to say that maybe throwing all this money, and I know there's no salary cap in baseball, but throwing all this money at a star player makes it more impossible to fill out that roster?
Well, you're basically touching on an age-old debate about roster building, and it comes down to the idea that, you know, is one 6-win player better than 2 3-win players? Because in the end, they both equal 6 wins, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it depends on a lot of factors. I mean, you're the Padres, you have a ton of young talent coming, a ton of young talent that's going to cost the league minimum, and that might turn into someone like Fernando Tatis Jr., who, again, like I said, is looking like one of the best players in baseball already. So there are a lot of variables, and, you know, I don't think there's any sense in getting into a I don't think there's any sense in just answering this yes or no, because it really is a case-by-case situation. I think if you're the Phillies, you had a bad farm system, you had no other option but to go out there and add a guy like Bryce Harper and trade for Real Muto to, you know, give yourself a chance at the postseason, then I think absolutely it makes sense to do what they did. If you're the Padres, I think it still makes sense. But, yeah, it's a case-by-case thing, and I think that we're not doing ourselves any favors if we lock into, you know, a definitive answer for every situation.
Fair enough. RJ, let's talk about the Atlanta Braves, 97-62, 50-win home team. Where would you, I hate asking this question. It's so cliche, but let's do it. How would you power rate the National League right now?
I mean, you have to put the Dodgers up at the top, right? They're just outstanding team. You know, they're far and away the leaders in run differential. And after that, I think you have to go either Washington or Atlanta. And I know the people who are listening who are Braves fans are going to say, oh, come on, you have to put us ahead of the Nationals because we won the division and they didn't. Fair, but, you know, the postseason is a bit of a different monster. And, you know, the Nationals are a lot different team than they were in April, especially as far as that bullpen is concerned. So I might actually put the Nationals ahead of the Braves just because they have that impact at the top of the rotation that Atlanta doesn't quite have. And then after that, you know, you put the, I guess, the Braves there. Then, I don't know, I guess you have to go with the Cardinals. So maybe Milwaukee, if you're really a big believer in their bullpen magic. I don't know. I guess that's how I'd rank them off the top of my head. But I can be convinced to shuffle one or two teams here or there. But I do think you have to begin with the Dodgers, no matter what.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. RJ Anderson, our guest, he covers Major League Baseball for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at @r_j_Anderson. All right, so I'm not hearing much enthusiasm in your voice when you talk about the Atlanta Braves. What is your biggest concern with them as we move into the playoffs?
You know, it's not that I necessarily have a huge concern with them. Obviously, that's a very good lineup. It's very deep. They have a couple of good starting pitchers. You know, they have Mike Soroka. I'm a little disappointed that he won't be starting game one because I think he is their best starter, but I get it. I guess the bullpen I'm a little concerned about still, but I really like the Chris Martin pickup. And I think that, you know, I don't think there's really a fatal flaw here. It's just when you compare them to the Dodgers, who they will presumably be playing in a National League Championship Series, they just come up a little short. You know, the Dodgers are just a little bit better across the board. And so it's not that I'm not enthused by the Braves or anything like that. I really enjoy watching them play. You know, Ronald Acuna Jr. is an incredible talent, and I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of his career play out. But they just feel like the team that's going to lose to the Dodgers and say, you know, five or six games in the NLCS, and we all talk about how, well, in a year or two, then it'll be their time. But for right now, you know, they're a good team. They just don't have enough to get over the Dodgers.
That's fair. Who is there a team out there that you think made a mistake at the trade deadline this year by either moving on a player or not moving on a player? Like, could the Braves be one of those teams at the deadline where you're like, all right, they didn't do enough?
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking for one specific example off the top of my head, I kind of was a little disappointed that Milwaukee didn't get another starting pitcher, but obviously, you know, it's kind of been proven to not be a big issue. I guess I would also throw out, you know, Minnesota. I thought that they were going to swing for the fences a little bit more than they did. And here we have a situation now where, you know, one of their big additions was Sam Dyson, and he is out not only for this season with shoulder surgery, but potentially all of next year. So basically they gave up three players for 12 appearances, I believe it was. And I thought that the Twins had a chance to, you know, swing for another starter and, you know, really solidify that rotation. And, you know, their rotation is looking a little shaky now heading into the postseason. You know, Michael Pinata is suspended, and Jake Odorizzi just left his most recent start. I know he says he's fine, but that has to be a concern. And Jose Berrios has had some issues. Kyle Gibson had an injury. So, you know, the Twins have been one of the feel-good stories of baseball this season. I just wish that they had maybe pushed down a little bit more on the pedal of a trade deadline and made a bigger move, maybe for a Marcus Stroman type set.
Yeah. No, for sure. RJ Anderson has been our guest today. I really appreciate the time, man. Of CBS Sports Major League Baseball, you can follow his work on Twitter at @r_j_Anderson as we get our baseball preview. Last question for you. You know I'm a Yankees fan. Yankees-Astros, Yankees 102 and 57, Astros 104 and 54. Power rank those two teams real quickly, 30 seconds.
I think you have to put the Astros ahead, but, you know, that Yankees team, if they manage their bullpen the way they're capable of, I think they're definitely – I definitely think they have a chance to win the pennant and perhaps even the World Series.
RJ, always appreciate the time, man. We are back after this. Matt Harrod filling in for Mark Sturgis. We're going to get into more college football talk that coming up next hour. And as we end the hour here, we are listening to ESPN Upstate. All right, thank you to RJ Anderson for coming on the show. Major League Baseball playoffs are right around the corner. You can call the show anytime you would like today. What's that phone number? 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. I'm going to get back to college football coming up in the next hour. We got a lot to talk about. My Twitter poll question is still up. You can follow me on Twitter at HeraMatt. Would South Carolina, I want to get back to this. Would South Carolina football fans sacrifice every game the rest of the way? Okay, if it was guaranteed that Will Muschamp was going to be fired, I will give you coming up at the top of the hour the results that we have right now in the poll. I think it will surprise Diesel right now, as Diesel was thinking very much. What, I keep forgetting what you said, Diesel. You thought it was going to be no, they want their team to win, right? That's what you were saying?
No, I thought everybody was going to want Will Muschamp's head.
That's right. Okay, well, I think you're going to be surprised by the poll results that we have so far. I love that you know, South Carolina is such an interesting place right now, because obviously we have the Gamecocks, which to me are the most polarizing team in the state when it comes to college football, just because of how bad they are right now, and we're talking about a coach getting fired possibly. But of course, we do have the Clemson Tigers, who I have not touched on yet today. They have a game against North Carolina on the road this week, coming off that win against Charlotte, which, by the way, I told you in the break, I'm a gambling man. Clemson did cover against Charlotte, if I'm not mistaken, right? That was a 41.5 point spread, and they won by 42. If my math is correct, I'm a radio guy, not a mathematician. 52 minus 10 is 42. So, yeah, they covered the spread.
Yeah, it helps all those people who are feeling really bad about losing the backdoor cover of the Texas A&M game. How many people do you think were upset at Dabo for giving up that touchdown?
Oh, my goodness, right, man. It's just the definition of a bad beat. Like, it does not get any worse than that. Anyway, let's hear from Dabo as we will talk more college football next hour. Dabo talking about North Carolina, how they should be a 4-0 team. This Carolina team should be undefeated, but they're not right now. Yeah, they keep coming back. Sorry for that low audio level there. But Clemson, the number one team in the country, on the road to face North Carolina. I wish that would have been played a little bit better. That's my bad on that one. But I love hearing, like, when I was listening to these, and I'm not going to play the other one, Diesel, but I love hearing Dabo sometimes talk about the other team, because it reminds me about Bill Belichick. Like, Bill Belichick, when he's asked about the New York Jets or the Buffalo Bills, it's always the same response. Oh, well, you know, they got good wide receivers. We got to cover this guy, and he's done some good things over the past couple of games, and their defense, they've been known to sack people every now and then, and so we got to watch out for that. And it's like, you know, we know we were going to win the game 31-3. You know, like, we know it. That's what's going to happen. So I always enjoy hearing coaches before they're going into a blowout. I don't know. Do you think North Carolina can even keep this one close? I know that this at home, it should, you know, you got the border rivalry there. I don't see Clemson having any problems. Now, will they play 111 players this week? I doubt it. Against Charlotte, they played, 111 players? Was that what it was? I heard Mark talking about it earlier this week. Can you imagine being the play-by-play guy, trying to figure out which number 8 is on the field? I did play-by-play for years, and not years, but I talk like I'm some old fogey here, but I did play by play for a while, and I just remember games when they did play like 80 guys or 90 guys over the course of the game, and I'm staring at my roster trying to figure out which number 8 is on the field, because I obviously want to call the game correctly. Did I hear that right when I was listening to the station earlier this week, Mark, saying that they played 111 guys? Because I watched some of the game, not all of it. Obviously Trevor Lawrence only played the first quarter, but I can't imagine that's going to happen again, right, Diesel?
Yeah, you are right about that. 111 football players.
Jeez.
It's absolutely insane, which, you know, something I brought up on the show yesterday. It's time for a scholarship reduction, and it just might fix that problem.
Oh, my God. Just, again, when I heard that number from Mark, I could only place myself in the shoes of the play-by-play guy who's just like trying to figure it out. Like, it's not like the, like 100. I honestly did not even know that you could dress 111 people on a given Saturday. I had no idea.
How come you can only travel with 74 players or something like that, but somehow at home you can have 111 guys in uniform?
I really think they just started drawing kids from local high schools and said, hey, look, you want to get a shot? When we're up 60-0, we're going to give you an opportunity.
Do you think numbers 90 through 111 were sitting in their dorm rooms, and they text Dabo? Dabo texts them like, "Hey, if you can get down here fast enough, I'll put you in the game. If you can get down here and get dressed, I'll play you.
Call the Uber now." Hour 3 is next. It's Straight Up with Sturge, Matt Harrod, filling in.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.